That's okay. So, class three today, what we're going to talk about today is the Jewish customs and Modin, the appointed times. And we just finished an appointed time here recently. We'll make it to Passover, celebrate, but that is one of God's appointed times, is when we come together as a congregation, fellowship, because there's three times a year when you're supposed to come together to the temple. The whole, everybody, you know what that is? So we'll go over that. And today we're going to be talking about the... turbans, and I was talking to one of the experts of the temple, and he also told me that the priest also wore kind of a head covering underneath their turbans. So when they went outside the temple, they still wanted to be under God. So they did the court of the, and then you had the court of the Gentiles. So anytime they left the court where they did their priestly duties, they always wore something on their head as a sign that they were under God. And that's kind of what we still do today as being priests or being up on the bema or being here. We wear this. And it's okay for non-Jews and Jews to wear this inside the synagogue. And then we're going to talk about the tallit, which I think is one of the most beautiful, because this is commanded for the Israelites to wear. And this is my to have the blue cords. I do have blue cords on mine. And the cords, if you can see that, there's 600.
In each one?
No, total.
Oh, okay.
Total on all the... 13 knots represents the 613 commandments in the Torah. So that's what that represents. So you will see, like I said, some people have the blue cord. Mine does because it says to. But that's it. A lot of the tallits will have a prayer up here. It'll have the blessing. Mine doesn't, so I say it to myself when I put my tallit on. And we can go over that prayer. Because it says, Baruch atah Adonai Asher Kishanu B'mitzvotah B'tzianu Lahatif B'zitzit. So it is commanded us to wear the tallit. So with mine is a big one. So I put it over, and this is also my prayer shawl, right? So, and I do this by myself when I'm alone, usually in my office, and I wrap myself in my tallit, and I will pray before I go out. And then I do the corners. And this is the way I wear my tallit. And there's different tallits, and you see different people with different tallits. One, some of them more like a scarf. This is my... So this is why I wear mine like this. But this way, I have all four corners of the tzitzit and the different corners of my garment. You see, like Rabbi John wears like a scarf one. Yeah, and that's fine too. This is mine. This is the one that... Yes. So, and this one's special to me. So it's one I've had for a long, long time.
So when you pray at
home,
okay.
Yes.
Can I also do that, or because I'm woman, I don't
think,
or I have to wear my husband?
Yeah. Women did not wear the tallit, but I know a lot of the synagogues. Even not so much in the conservative synagogues in the Jewish side, but more the Reform. Some of those, especially not in the Orthodox. Orthodox, no. But it's really for the man to wear it as his prayer, but it doesn't say you can't. How's that? But yes, this is the prayer closet. You go into your. This is what they had. Because then you're wrapped up in it, and it's just you and God. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's, you'll see it at the end of service. Everybody comes together, and the men put their tallits over their families. Or if there's people standing alone, they usually bring them in together. Just so that we're, being there together. Yes, and we do that for the children with our tallits. Now, one thing about the tallit is it is a special garment. It is a garment set aside. It's a holy garment. So you don't wear these in the restroom. You don't wear them when you're out to eat. And it's usually in the morning services that we wear these, or when you're praying. Now, there's only, I think it's Yom Kippur, that we wear these at night for evening service. But that's the only time you will see men wear these at night. So if you see somebody wearing a tallit all the time, they're wearing it wrong. Because it's supposed to be special and set apart, just like Shabbat. Yes, ma'am. The kippah. So you can wear that everywhere. And now this is what I was told, that you never wear the tallit without a kippah. But you see some of the, and I'm trying to correct, because we want this to be a special place, a safe place. And a lot of Jewish people that were brought up in synagogues, the men, time they wore tallit. And to see it, people without a kippah or a yarmulke while they're wearing tallit is not right. It would be kind of like having the bread on the inside. Sure, still a sandwich, but when you have the tuna fish on the outside and the bread on the inside, it's just not,
Even at home when you are praying, still he has to wear this one first and then.
But the I do wear mine when I pray and when I'm under my shawl.
I understand. No.
Yes.
What I want to understand is when we want to pray with my husband, he
Mm-hmm.
has to wear
A kippah.
kippah first,
Mm-hmm.
and use this
Mm-hmm.
Tallit, right?
Yes. Yes. Shabbat. And and then if you wear a black one, a lot of the Orthodox, they will think you're Orthodox. I wear a black one most of the time, almost all the time. It's one I have. Some think Orthodox if you have a black one out in a community. So I'm just telling you that's the way it's interpreted sometimes, especially if you're in Israel. If you're in Israel and you wear a black one, they will think you're Orthodox. But you will see different ones, white, like the one I'm wearing today is blue. I decided to wear it today because I'm wearing a blue shirt. So, it really doesn't matter.
So other colors is okay, but
Yes,
black
ma'am.
is especially
You will,
for
and like I said, I wear a black one 99% of the time. Because it was a gift, and I like it, and it fits me, so that's what I wear. But today I put a blue one. Yes. And then Shabbat, everybody knows that Shabbat starts on Friday evening at sundown. Shabbat is one of the most special high holy days there is. Now, Western culture, we say that a holiday is special when it happens once a year. Shabbat happens every week, but God commands us to celebrate Shabbat and set it aside. It's in one of the Ten Commandments. So that's how important Shabbat is to God, that we rest in Him. So it is a special time to reflect and spend time studying with your family and with God. Let's see. I'm getting ahead of myself here. There's the tallit. And as you know, you saw in there where it does say, you know, people are commanded to wear the tallit. The Israelites were.
Sorry, what is Erev?
Erev means evening.
Oh.
So Erev Shabbat. So you will hear them say Erev Shabbat or Boker. Boker is the daytime. So in the Jewish tradition, the day starts in the evening.
Yes.
There was evening and there was morning, first day.
Mm-hmm.
So everything starts in the evening. And then you have a 24-hour cycle. And then it ends with what we saw. When we do Erev Shabbat, we will light the candles, we'll say the prayers, and then we will have our meal. And we start, you know, you light the candles, so you separate this holy day from the rest of the days. And it's just a time of reflection and to say, all right, now we're going to focus on God from now until. Habdalah, yes. So Habdalah was a ceremony that started, I forget the exact time frame, but it was a time to end Shabbat. So it prepares you to go back into the world and saying, all right, we've got this 24 hours, we've set this for God, but now we know we have to get back into the world. And so we're saying Shabbat is ending, but we still want to carry God with us through the rest of the week. So there's a little ceremony that we do. We used to do a Habdalah service at CBM once a quarter. We have the youth come in and, you know, we sing songs and it's a good time. And we light the Habdalah candles and then we have that time.
But the Habdalah is something you do every week.
See, Habdalah is, according to some of the rabbis, so it doesn't have to end Shabbat evening, Saturday evening. Some have even gone in and said that, you know, you can carry it to Sunday night or Monday night or even Tuesday night to extend Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
But traditionally, we encourage everybody to come to CBM for services because you get strength from each other. Iron sharpens iron, and we learn from each other. And when you spend time in community, it strengthens you. You know, because there's times that we would be walking around, and in the Western culture, we say, how are you? And typically in America, I'm fine, I'm great, good, when they're not. Right? Okay. But in other cultures, when you ask somebody how they are, what do? They tell you how they are.
Yes.
Because they expect you to listen to them.
Yeah.
And say, oh, well, let me do this, this, and this. It's not that way. And you've seen that in the States, where it's like, oh, I'm fine. And they're not.
Yes.
So to come together as an assembly, we get to lean on each other and pull from each other and lift each other up and pray for each other and find out what's really going on in each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it just strengthens us. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's okay.
And I have there, so that I'm not just late the whole time I'm up on the Bema. Because it's distracting for everybody when you're going like this all the time. So I do have clips that keep this together. Now we're going to talk about the Moedim, God's appointed times, feasts, the community is coming together. And this is what I find fascinating. So we have a God all this, he made everything. And created it all. But then he said, I want you to celebrate too. I want you to celebrate with your family. I want you to celebrate with me with all this that has been created. So that's kind of awesome when you think about God wants us to enjoy life and to celebrate things together as a community and to celebrate Him and to celebrate life and to celebrate Thanksgiving. So I always find that just absolutely amazing that God would be like, I know, look, I'm with life too. And we're going to put some times together and we're going to have appointed times throughout the year when we come together as an assembly and we celebrate and we focus and we think about things. And that's what we're going to talk about. And like we talked about, Shabbat is one of them, one of the big high holy days. And we have the spring feast. We just had Passover where we come together as a congregation. If you remember, that's when Yeshua went into Jerusalem, was during Passover. So that's when everybody's supposed to come in together to celebrate. When they come to the Jerusalem, come to the temple, the whole community. And we have a Seder where we get through everything. And the Seder just kind of means organization. Then we have Zikron HaMashiach, the month of Nisan. After Passover, we have unleavened bread. A little bit, John. Yeah, I'm on page 22. I don't know if you guys are on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So unleavened bread is that time after. So you have Passover. Bread, where we eat the matzah. And we have first fruits or bikkurim. Bikkurim is, we already have bikkurim. Now we have Shavuot coming up. Will we celebrate Shavuot and the Pentecost about the same time? Then we have Yom Teruah, which is Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Okay, so Shavuot.
There's no R. No, Shavuot.
Shavuot.
Yes.
So that's Pentecost.
Yes. So one thing I'm going to do and that'll be June 4th. If you guys are here June 4th, would you like to read a passage from the Bema in Iranian? Okay, because this is the Pentecost, this day the Ruach came. They hear the word of God in their own language.
Yes.
So we have all these people. That is a beautiful thing about Congregation Beth Messiah. If you look around, we have all these nations here. And they love each other. And we celebrate God and we celebrate Yeshua together as the nations. So to come up Pentecost or Shavuot to read in a language that's going to be broadcast, that people will be able to hear the word of God maybe for the first time in their own language.
Yes.
I think that's going to be. Okay. That's going to be so great. And then, yes, I'm so excited about that.
So you're pronouncing that
Shavuot. Shavuot. Yes, Shavuot. Yes. Shavuot. June 4th, yes. And we will have a big celebration here today on that day as well. So we'll have a little lunch afterwards. We'll have games out here. There's going to be a dunk booth over here that Rabbi John's going to be in and myself. Ma'am?
Today's celebration?
No, June 4th. June 4th, yes. That will be Shavuot.
So do you do any kind of outreach?
Yes. We're not doing that. We're kind of, we've reached out to the other congregations to see if they wanted to come. So, but yes, no, we have not gone out to do anything in a park or anything. We might think about that one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the kind of the head of the year, because in what is it? Let me see here. Let me get back to my notes. Rosh Hashanah is the kind of the welcoming. And then between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have the what's called the 10 days of awe, where we kind of spend time reflecting on God and His Word and really examining ourselves for the past year to see where we were at and where we want to go for the next year. These are the days of awe. Mm-hmm. And is the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah is not like a biblical holiday, but it came from, it is in Ezekiel. So that's where we get it that in. And Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Let me see if it's even in here. I don't see it in here either. But you will hear people talking about that. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you will hear people talking about the 10 days of awe. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. That is during temple times. They brought the two goats in, and the priest cast lots. One was the scapegoat that went out to the wilderness, and the other one was the one, you know, that, yes. And what had happened is they would put up a red cloth on the temple doors once they sent the goat out into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And when that goat died, this red cloth would miraculously turn white, like the next day turn white. Itself.
Okay.
So,
not now.
So what had happened was sacrificed.
Yes.
The cloth never turned white again. Christ was already accepted. Yeshua was the sacrifice. So the priest, the because there was no need for another sacrifice, because Yeshua was the sacrifice. He was the Messiah. His blood was the atonement for everybody.
So we don't do sacrifice.
Well, the temple's not there anymore either. So not a sacrifice for atonement, not a blood covering for atonement.
Yeah.
Right. And it is one of the highest holidays for the Jewish people. Yom Kippur is. It is a day we fast that day. Typically no food or water unless you have medical conditions, which, you know, we recommend everybody talk to the doctor about. But we do fast on Yom Kippur. Then we have what's called the Fall Feast. So, yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah, sundown. Yes. We usually start the night before at sundown and then typically go to the end of service. tell you to, if you have a medical condition, one, I don't need to know what your medical condition is. I'm not a doctor. So you would have to talk to your doctor, your physician, to see if you could fast or can't. Because I can't have anybody fast. It's taking medicines that... A little bit. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Because I'll tell you why. Because God knows your heart, right?
Yeah.
Because if you could, you would. But you can't. But you want to give that time to God and honor God, and that's what you're doing. Because like I said, if you could, you would. So that's a big thing.
But I consider myself as I am.
Right. Yes. Yes, yes. And then we have Sukkot. Every year, Sukkot, we get together as a community. And typically west of town here. And from Friday night, Sunday afternoon. So most people start coming out Friday. It's just a different way of spending time together. And it's a feast that God tells us to see. And it's a beautiful thing because now you get to see people in a different light, in a different setting. So I'm not going to dress like this when we're out camping. I'm going to be a little more relaxed. But then you eat together, you fellowship with the other people out there. You share food, you break bread, you spend that time together, and you really get to learn about other people within the community. And it is a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun doing that. And that's where you start building some really, really good is during Sukkot. And we do have, it is an enjoyable time to spend together. Yes, we dwell in booths. A lot of people rent campers or have tents and go out and spend the weekend. Then we have Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah. Simchat Torah.
So,
Simchat. It's it, yes, and then growing up in a place with thick Louisiana accents, thick East Texas accents, Spanish accents, Spanglish, where it's Spanish and English mixed together, and then all the. It's a big conglomeration in my mind. I can barely speak English now. So. But the Simchat Torah is a celebration of the Torah. And what we will do during that day is we will have the big scroll, our Vilna scroll. I will pull it out and we will stretch it out and everybody will get an opportunity to come up and look. Because other than that, the only other time people get to see it is when they come up and read. And it's a very special scroll. That particular, the big blue one that we bring out, was written sometime between 1735 and 1787. So it's older than the U.S. And then we have the Jewish life cycle events and minor holidays. And we encourage people to come together as a community for these, like bar and bat mitzvahs. We're having a bat mitzvah. A young lady will get up there and do her bat mitzvah. And then, what's that?
So it's bar is for boys?
Yes. Yes. Weddings and funerals are also big. Hanukkah. Again, it's not a biblical holiday, but it's just a celebration we have, and we encourage people to come out for Hanukkah It's also a good time. We had that. It, again, a little minor holiday. It's a good time. People dress up. And we, yes, and we just have a celebration of God. And it's the story of, and that usually happens in March. Then we have the Jewish months. So you will see these on the calendars, or you will hear them mentioned, or people talking about them, which is Tishri, Shavan, Kislev, Tevet, Shavat, Adar Nisan. And again, like I said, not the best English speaker, so all my other languages are wrong too. Because the Deutsch and then, you know, all the Spanish and everything else just gets mixed in.
So. Did you say each one of those?
No, I didn't. Sivan, Tammuz, and Elul. So you will hear about that is fasting day, and it's kind of one of those go through those. We have Yom HaZikaron, which is Israel Memorial Day. That's usually in April or May. Yom HaAzmat, which is Israeli Independence Day. Yom Yerushalayim, which is Jerusalem Day. Yom HaShoah, which is the Holocaust Memorial Day. Tish B'Av, or the 9th of Av, that's a fasting day. What had happened during those days is typically when a lot of bad things happened to the Israelite people and the Jewish people. The first temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. The second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. And then we have a new year of a tree, the Arbor Day, which is in January or February. So, and we'll go to synagogue traditions and what we do for the synagogue. And so you will see some of these, and let me get through. Sorry about that. End of the liturgy, I ask everybody to stand up, and we have one of the guys with their wrap their tallits and either point with their, or they will wrap their little finger and point with their little finger. So do you know how to do that? It's linked to the idea of the pointer of the yod that the cantor uses to read, you know, so that it's on there. And it's the hand of Moses, that little yod is what it's called. And it's also kind of like a pledge of allegiance. That's what we're saying, basically, if you think of it that way. Yeah, so when he is up there reading, he has a little thing that's about this long that's gold. And what he does is he uses it because you don't want to touch the Torah scroll with your hand. Because the oil will degradate the material and the ink. So it will destroy it. So that's why we don't touch the Torah scroll.
And something look like this.
Yes. That's exactly what it does. Like that. And he's sitting there and he's reading it so we can follow along. Mm-hmm. Because you remember, in the Torah scroll, there are no vowels.
Yes.
So there's no vowels on those words. And like for Simchat Torah, I would encourage you because it's very beautiful, but there are no vowels. And you'd be like, wow, how does he read this? Because there's not very many breaks in it. So it's kind of impressive to see the Torah scroll. It's written a lot different than it is a book. So, and that's why you don't touch it. Why do we bow? You see us bow. So it's a sign of respect.
How do we know when is the time?
Part of when you hear we say Adonai, you will bow, because we don't use the four letter name of God. And one, because talks about, you know, in vain or saying it. So a lot of Jewish people don't, because they don't know how to pronounce it. So how to pronounce God's name, because there are no vowels in the Torah scroll. So they don't want to mess up by pronouncing it wrong. Now, this is just Yessi. She calls me Yessi.
Yeah.
I know she's talking to me. And I know what you're saying to me. She's not doing it to disrespect me, but she can't say Jesse. She says Yessi. I still love her, even though she's pronounced my name wrong. But we do that. People grew up in synagogues that come here where they never pronounce the name of God. And it's an honor thing. So we honor them also by not pronouncing the name of God here at the synagogue.
So you don't say Adonai?
Adonai is like a title. If you remember, God tells Moses his name,
yeah.
Right? It's the four letters. So we don't say it because it doesn't have the vowels. So we don't know how to print. Exactly. Yes. Yes. So it's like Lord God Hashem, the name. So you will hear people say Hashem, bless Baruch Atah Adonai, or bless Hashem, or whatever, the name. There's a light. When you look at the ark and the big everything up there, the very top.
Yes.
Have you seen it? So it's all the synagogues. It was in the temple. To be up there, it represents the eternal flame. It's the Neretz, the eternal light. And we have that in our... I believe it's Neretz. We also, you will see a little differently, don't pass a plate. Consider it a church. At some point during the service, they will pass the plate for everybody to put in their tithes and offerings. We don't do that. Never have, never will. And so we have boxes at the back of the synagogue. There's one through the main doors over there by the camera. There's a box there, and there's one in the Oneg room where people put their tithes and offering. One thing Rabbi John and I do not do, we do not see the offerings. We don't know who gives how much at any point, anytime, anywhere. We just know, like, he gets a total number, and that's it. So if you give so we don't know how much people give, what amount, whether they do or not, we don't. And that's the way we do it, and that's the way we decided that we want to keep that tradition going, because one, it's between you and God. Now, for tax purposes, we do have an office manager that sends those forms out to people. So she sees them, and another person sees them. But Rabbi John does not, I do not, and Augustine does not. Yes, and I had a cousin that was going to a church, and the preacher wanted everybody to bring in their W-2s from the year before to make sure your tithe was right.
Yeah.
We don't do that. It is crazy. We... Right. Not like that. No. No. So, like I said, we who gives how much or what? We don't, which I think is a beautiful thing, and it helps us. Now, at the end of where we have all the tithe and all of it's calculated, but like I said, we don't know the individuals who give or how much. But we go through all the spend of all the money, so everybody in the congregation gets to see where the leadership is spending your tithe. And we're very transparent about that. And I encourage everybody to come to the financial meeting, because you should know kind of what your leadership is doing with the money that is given. Because we do bless other people, other places, missionaries, groups in Israel to help them as well. But then we also have to keep the lights on, the AC going, especially in Houston. In the summertime, we like to keep the AC going. It's a big thing for us. Is we have a board. We're an elder-led congregation, but we also have a board. So we have the elders, which is Rabbi John, Donald Sexton, and myself. And Donald is just in the back. You'll see him in the sound. He's not a big limelight guy, but he's in the back, and he's very solid. And we also have Shaw Machine, which hopefully everybody will be meeting some, if you haven't already. So some of our leaders. Then we have Augustine is on staff, but he's not an elder. He's a worship leader. She's in the back too. She does the slides every week. Talk about ministries next week. Get involved in who to meet, who to talk to, and some of that. The sisterhood is meeting Sunday. If you haven't signed up yet, I don't know if you can, but
tomorrow.
Yes. Okay, that's fine too. That is fine too. But and in the men's group, Asha Heil, Men of Valor. 9, I think. 9 or 9:30, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'll have to look.
Can I still call?
Sure. Okay. Our office hours, so we do come into the office here Tuesday through Saturday. The reason we don't come in Monday is We're kind of like the high priest. We don't, our Shabbat we're working too.
Oh, okay.
So we take Sunday and Monday off. So we have a couple days as well. Weekly service, everybody knows, starts at 10 every Shabbat. Our office is closed Sunday and Mondays and high holidays. And I think Rabbi John went over everything with y'all early about who we are, what we believe, kind of our thought process, our belief system, and who we are and what we do, and our vision. We are called to our Jewish identity in Yeshua. Can I have about 10 more minutes, please? So we're called to our Jewish identity in Messiah. Because we want the Jewish people to have a safe space to come and learn about Messiah. Now, some of the Jewish culture or customs and people is some families want a Jewish person accepts Messiah, accepts Yeshua. A lot of the times the families will cut them off. So it is a big step for them to say that Yeshua is the Messiah. Where in like the U.S., there's a church on every corner. You can go in and learn about Jesus, and it's not that big of a deal. Where in other countries, you know, Iran, China, some places in India, some other places where it's against the law to learn about the Messiah, it's a big deal. Big difference. Big difference in saying, I'm going to say that Yeshua is the Messiah. and possibly lose my life or lose my family. Yes. Or growing up where we take it for granted in the States and say, yep, I know him. Yoo-hoo. So big difference. So that's why we want to have a safe place for the Jewish people to come to learn about Messiah. And that's our vision. We're called to be empowered by the Spirit of God, by the Ruach. That is another thing. We're called to community lifestyle. That's why we have these festivals and these days, is so we can come together as a community and celebrate. One, we have to be there to lift each other up, because life is hard enough. And when you're doing it alone, it's even harder. So to have that community around you to support you, to lift you up, to raise you up, it's a big deal, and it helps. We're called to biblical leadership. That's why we have elders and shamashim, because it's biblical. Where order is established and peace is the norm, because we do understand that there are conflicts, and there are times that there will be conflicts, but our goal is to have a community unity where peace prevails. And you will see everything here in CBM. Like I said, we have the nations. We have all these people from all over the world. And we have everything from those that are orthodox, very orthodox in their view and application of the Bible and the laws, and those that are not. We have everything in between. So, it is who we are. And congregation Messiah to the Jew first and to the nations also. Though the Bible clearly makes a physical distinction between being Jewish and Gentile, it does not limit spiritual responsibility on the basis of that distinction. On page 27. Together to produce a healthy atmosphere for the Jewish people to discover Yeshua. And we do have some that are Jewish that have accepted us. Yes. Some of them have never read covenant before in their life. Some of them have been in churches for years, read the new covenant, but they're coming here and we're saying you can believe in Messiah and still be Jewish. And they're seeing it and they're feeling it and they're living it. And we have discipleship, how to get involved in CBM. If we don't get all this covered today, because we may have to work for a little bit. We have discipleship, because Yeshua had disciples that he sent out. Our master, our rabbi, is Yeshua. Discipleship. Daily readings are available online. So if you look at our calendar, you can go in and see what the readings are for that day, that week. You can get them. There's all sorts of places you can get those from. That's why we keep in line with the Jewish synagogues on what we read from the Torah. So what we read, synagogues around the world are reading that same time. Yes. Everything but the New Testament. Everything but the New Covenant.
Yeah, yeah. So do you do both the old one and then the new?
Mm-hmm.
You give two readings.
Mm-hmm.
Two. And those are available?
Online, on our website, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Prayer, we have a couple times. We will get together and we will pray right here. Everybody is invited to come in and pray. John comes, even John. He comes in and pray. And we encourage people to come. Because prayer is very important to our who we are.
Yes.
It's a tool, it's an instrument that God has given us to talk to Him. Amen. For protection, for wisdom, for guidance. So use it. It's a blessing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Right. And then we also have prayer on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Same room back here. We encourage people to come to that as well. In the same room, 9 a.m. Yes. And we have special prayer services during the year. We have Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Pesach services. Habarah groups are small groups. And we'll go into where the maps of those are next week. How to get plugged in right now for the summertime. A lot of the Havarah groups are shutting down for summer because they're going to be traveling and it's hard to get everybody together weeks to study. We kind of take a break during the summertime and everybody kind of do their thing. And like I said, we have Sisterhood. Sisterhood meets every quarter on Shahayel. Men of Valor, we're meeting in June. I think there'll be some announcements coming out about that here shortly. We're also starting classes. I believe one is American Science shortly. Other opportunities is Messianic Choir. So we have choir, we have dance, we have all these ministries you can get involved in to get plugged into the community. You will see that, you know, during worship, the dancers are out there dancing. Marissa with her. Dance, just get in and join.
Thursday night.
Week. They shut down after Passover for a little bit because they've been practicing so much for Passover. And now they're starting to come back together on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions about anything we covered today? Questions, comments, complaints, concerns, quibbles? Okay. The Havarah. Yes. And what Havarah, aren't we in a Havarah, John? We'll try to get you plugged into a Havarah. And we have Havarah spread throughout the city, just different families in different areas. What area do y'all live in? Oh, you're here close? Okay. So we have a few that are close. Yeah. Oh, let me. Here's some of our leadership. This is Rabbi Richard and Patsy Freeman. Rabbi Richard is the one that founded CBM in his living room 40 years ago. Him and Miss Patsy, you'll see him every once in a while. Rabbi Ron was his right-hand man and Dolly. Rabbi Ron comes periodically. He's taking care of his wife most of the time now. Of course, Rabbi John and Becky, Rabbis and Becky. And then Donald and Sue. Donald's in the back most of the time. There's myself, my wife. Augustine and his family, Miranda and Lev, little baby Lev. Rabbi Todd, our B'nai Mitzvah group. He teaches the young men and women to prepare them for their bar and bar mitzvahs. Shamish? He's one of the leaders as well. It would be equivalent of like a deacon. How's that? Shamish. Sean and Kasha Derrickson, another one of our Shamish couples. Ralph and Doris, they're over the ministry. They go out and feed the homeless once a month. So that's another way you can get plugged in and volunteer. Javier and Nancy. Javier is right in the back right now. Say hello, Javier. Another one of our Shamish couples. Noe and Sandy. You'll see Noe playing the bass. Peter and Kelly Warman. And Melanie and John. Like I said, Melanie is over our children's program. She's the director of our children's program here. And Julia is our office manager. And we went through pretty much everything else. Ma'am? Where is Rabbi Phil? Muslim. I don't know if and when he's coming back. Do you know when Rabbi Phillips is coming back?
He has a two-year program at Hebrew University. And after that, I'm not sure what he's going to do. He's plugged into Jerusalem Seminary, which is a new startup seminary. Mm-hmm. And he's their curriculum. I have a feeling, God willing, that he'll probably stay in
Any other questions? Thank y'all so much for coming today and being here.